This talk was recorded by Insight Meditation South Bay in Mountain View, California. For more talks and information, visit www.imsb.org.
Emotional landscape in the body, but how the body and emotions intersect. And I know you're getting this from sort of different angles with all of us different speakers. But I wondered, I just want to get kind of a show of hands of how many of you practice what we call body scanning, what Jon Kabat-Zinn created, a body scan that I teach in mindfulness-based stress reduction. And how many of you are actually people who practice that a lot or have practiced it a lot? Okay. And how many of you do yoga? Okay. And how many of you are regular participants in something like this? And I want to ask you, in that exercise that we just did, identifying an emotion and then sharing with each other about the emotion, can you just pay attention for a moment, just reflect back on when you were sharing what you experienced? Did body sensations come into that? Were you paying attention to body sensations as you were sharing with your neighbor what you had experienced? How many people were experiencing the body? Aha. If I sit, is this okay for you guys back there? All right. I'm going to do one exercise first and then ask you to pay attention to your body sensations afterwards. This is a practice from Rick Hansen called Taking in the Good. So what I'm going to be doing tonight is talking and leading exercises and having you observe, and talking and leading exercises and having you observe. So it'll be a bit interactive. How many of you are familiar with Rick Hansen? Yeah. So Rick Hansen, I call him the feel-good guy, and he has a lot of practices that reinforce positive emotion. And one of them is a practice called Taking in the Good. And I like to start my classes with a Taking in the Good exercise. So as always with mindfulness practices, we're not striving or trying to feel a certain emotion. We're doing all our practices as experiments or just as practices. I think probably you all have that grounding. But if you just close your eyes if you're comfortable, or let your eyes rest comfortably on the floor and align your body. And bringing into your awareness something that's happened today that was pleasant or good. Doesn't matter how small. It could be something you tasted, something you felt on your skin or saw or thought or experienced with someone. Just one thing that you experienced as pleasant or good. Now, this is the first step of this practice. There are three steps. The first step is to identify something. When you've identified something, the second step is to turn it into an experience, making it as vivid as you can. So if you can, to the extent possible, just taking yourself back into that experience, remembering where you were, who was there, what you were seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, touching, any videotapes that are playing in your mind as you're remembering it, any conversations you're hearing in your mind. Just anything at all to make it as vivid as possible. And when it's as vivid as you think it can be, if you'd place your hand on your heart, it'll let me know when you're there. And just breathing. And then breathing in, taking in the good, as if you're breathing in any sense of pleasantness if you did feel something pleasant. And as you breathe out, imagining you're sending that goodness or pleasantness into every cell of yourself. So breathing in, taking it in, breathing it out into yourself, into every cell of yourself. Not striving to feel a certain way, just bringing it in, taking it in, and finding out what happens. Some people like to use imagery. As you're taking it in, it's a temperature or color or light or golden threads. You don't have to use imagery. And then after a little while, when you feel ready to stop, just letting your hand rest again. And just noticing if that practice is having any effect on you at all. Pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, or some combination. Without insisting that it should have any effect, just finding out, is it having any effect? Can you feel through your body and notice what your body's feeling? Noticing any warmth or coolness, sense of ease or tension, moistness or dryness, tingly sensations, anything at all. And then whenever you're ready, just opening your eyes. And I think I'll have you just share briefly with your neighbor. Just pair up with someone. Pair up in threes if you want to, if that's more convenient. But just briefly sharing, what did you experience? Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. What did you notice in your body? And how many of you experienced that as a pleasant experience? Neutral. Unpleasant. And did anybody experience any judging? Okay, could I hear a little bit about the judging? Would anybody be willing to say something about the judging? You said judging yourself for not feeling better. Yeah. And what body sensation goes with that judging? Just notice, you don't have to say. Okay? And just notice the feeling of the judging and notice if that kind of added or just kind of layered in with other feelings in this practice. So the judging is there, right? And it kind of complicates this. I think, how many of you were hoping to feel good with this exercise? I mean, I think a lot of us do. And we kind of try to feel good with this exercise. And then if you get caught, then you sort of get snagged a little bit, like, oh, this isn't going quite right. I like to actually teach non-judging awareness as awareness of judging, that it's important just to get to know our judging. Probably you've heard this. But getting to know the judging in the body is more neutral than thinking about the judging. So just finding out what your body's feeling when you're judging, knowing that judging is, you know, of course, part of us. It's an important part of us. We just get caught up in the thinking about it and believing all our thoughts is the problem with our judging, especially when it's negative, but sometimes a problem when it's positive. So just getting to know the feelings in the body, moving attention into the body when we're caught in an emotion like judging, is a very useful thing to do. I'm going to be working with you tonight with a couple different emotions, not just pleasant emotions. I have practices to help neutralize that and shift you. Also, but I thought that the best way, rather than talk didactically about emotion in the body, I would work with you to experience it and practice with emotions in the body. I will talk a little bit about emotion, though. As I was thinking about this talk, I was reflecting back to when I was in college here, learning about emotion, learning about psychology. And that was in the 70s. Probably a lot of you will remember this. I'm looking at you. Fair number of you are probably in my age group, or at least some of you. I'm 60, if that gives you any idea. So I was in college in the early 70s, and I was studying humanistic psychology at a time when physiological psychology and behavioral psychology were kind of the big thing. And at Stanford in the 70s, humanistic psychology was considered sort of a lightweight thing that you just, you know, you're sort of thinking about your feelings, and that's not very precise, and it was the easy course to get an A in, and the term paper was just to talk about how you felt about something. So at the same time, I had gone on a, some of you have heard of encounter groups. David Bradford at the Stanford Business School was doing those. I went on one of those at Bihara Dunes in the 70s. They became famous for the difficulties they created because people were being taught to just let their feelings out, no matter what the feeling was. It was important to express feelings. Do any of you remember this? It was like at least 10 years of this. And what we found out, of course, is just letting your feelings out isn't necessarily a good thing, because feelings or emotions are essentially energy states. And in their raw form, the negative emotions especially can cause a lot of damage. So I practice in Thich Nhat Hanh's tradition, and we have specific practices for dealing with that, thinking of emotions as energy states and never expressing. The idea is to never express the emotion in its raw form, especially when it's negative. Instead, we invite mindfulness to come up and embrace or encircle that emotion. We practice putting the energy of mindfulness on the energy of the raw negative emotion. We call it cooking our potatoes. There are lots of metaphors, transforming our compost, so that then you're not throwing away the negative emotion. You're getting to know the negative emotion, really getting to know it. And then you can serve your potatoes or whatever, or turn the compost into something fertilizing, or you can serve the potatoes as something nourishing. The idea is that we don't throw away anything negative, but we work with it before we express it. And this is what we've learned, and I think all the neuroscience research that a lot of us are paying attention to now reinforces all of this, that mindfulness of emotion really helps us stabilize ourselves. And paying attention to the body is the practice I learned with Thich Nhat Hanh. We practice non-thinking, so that in the presence of a raw emotion, the first thing we do is practice non-thinking. And the easiest way to do that is to go to your body. So I train in this, noticing emotions, saying, stop, I'm noticing this emotion, naming it, recognizing it, allowing it to be there, but not allowing it to take over. Saying, okay, now I'm going to practice non-thinking, shifting the attention into the body, noticing what's going on in the body, untying the knots in the body with breathing or stretching to settle the body so that the mind becomes clearer and we can observe what's happening in the mind. And I'd like to lead you through a practice like this tonight where we do that kind of thing and just find out what happens. Before we do that, I'll talk a little bit more. So what is an emotion? Can anybody here define what is an emotion? What do you think an emotion is without worrying about whether you're right or not?
A reaction.
A reaction, okay. Defining an emotion, I think, is very difficult. It's kind of like defining the mind almost, although defining the mind may be even harder. In thinking about this presentation, I decided to look up the definition of an emotion by my favorite psychologist right now, who's Dan Siegel. Have any of you heard of Dan Siegel? He wrote the book Mindsight, and he's putting together ways of thinking about human psychology in new ways. His definition, I'm just going to read it to you, is emotion is thought of as a range of feelings we can sense in ourselves and perceive in others, that we can usually label with words, that are present in all cultures. There are considered to be 6 basic emotions, or 7 basic emotions. The ones he identifies are fear and anger, disgust, joy, sadness, shame, and surprise. I remember this as FAD. Anyway, fear, anger, disgust, joy, sadness, shame, and surprise. These are experienced across all cultures. It's also true that animals experience many of the emotions that we experience. So another interesting thing about emotion that I like to pay attention to is that for a long time, and until really just a few years ago, as far as I can tell, psychologists said that emotions happened in the mind, that emotions start in the mind, and in the mind is where we should pay attention to emotions. And in Western psychology, we pay attention to emotions with our minds usually. In psychotherapy offices, what happens is talking. As mindfulness is beginning to weave its way into psychotherapy, the body is coming in too. Body psychotherapies are there. I was asked to talk to you a little bit about my practice as a therapist and how I bring the awareness of the body with respect to emotion into my practice. But one of the things I like to think about is that animals experience emotions, and they don't have prefrontal cortexes, CEOs of the brain, to witness and observe and integrate all their experiences, as far as we know, the way we do. They can't reflect on their experience. They can't define an emotion the way we can, as far as we know. They feel things and react. How many of you have a dog that's a pet? You all know that there are emotions in dogs, I think, right? Can anybody define the emotions that they see in their dog, experience or feel in their dog? Happy?
Joy.
Guilt. Shame. Fear. Sadness. Are you noticing how this maps to the primary emotions felt across cultures? So these are emotions coming from the mammalian brain, but even further back in the reptilian brain, more in our brainstem, there are feelings that just happen to us, especially fear. A lot of the emotions are more sort of mammalian, later emotions. And then, of course, our brains think about the emotions and complexify them. But emotion at root is just something that mammals experience, and we too experience them. And then our minds generate thoughts about those emotions and opinions about the emotions, and we elaborate the emotion, and then the thought can trigger the emotion, and it's just this very interwoven experience. One way in terms of practice that I like to think about this, again, comes from Thich Nhat Hanh. And now I'm going to switch to another metaphor. In terms of practicing with emotion and working with our emotions, if you think of yourself as a tree, now some of you may like this, some of you may not, imagine that the lower half of your body is the roots of the tree. Your trunk is the trunk of the tree. Your mind thoughts are in the leaves. And your emotions are in the branches, running between the thoughts and the body. This is kind of what it's like, I think. The emotions run between the mind and the body. Who knows what comes first? They're connected. So you stabilize yourself with your roots. When an emotion arises, especially if it's a negative emotion, if you say, oh, I'm noticing that emotion, so it's like the leaves are rustling, if you're noticing the beginnings of the emotion, or the branches are breaking, if it's a strong emotion, you just, whenever you notice it, you say, okay, I'm noticing that emotion. Naming it, using your mental activity, helps to regulate the experience in and of itself. We call it name it to tame it. Just recognizing and naming a feeling helps to stabilize the feeling a little bit. That's the beginning. But then saying, stop, going to the trunk of my tree and breathing. A flexible trunk is a strong trunk. Moving and breathing. So stretching your body, moving your body in some way. If any of you do Qigong, if any of you do yoga, any kind of stretching or moving, even just gentle circles with breathing, can bring you into your body. So in the presence of an emotion, noticing what's going on in the leaves, in the branches, but going to the body, the trunk of the tree, and stabilizing there and keeping yourself flexible, helps to bring down the intensity of the emotion. The mind gets clearer, leaves get more settled, and you can inquire then what's going on in the branches, in the emotions, what's going on in the leaves, in the thoughts. So this is just one metaphor I like to use to kind of simplify it. So I'm going to lead you through some practices where we're going to do this. We're going to pay attention to a difficult emotion and work with that difficult emotion, especially noticing what's going on in the body. Okay? Now, it's very important. If you don't want to do it, you can say la la la. You can meditate. You can do something different. I don't want to insist that anybody does this, of course. It can be a little bit difficult to work with a difficult emotion. It's very important not to choose a very difficult emotion, not an intense emotion. Okay, not fear or anger, more worry or annoyance or irritation, something like that. But some kind of aversive emotion. So if you can think of something that happens regularly in your life that you're averse to, you don't like it, it worries you or it annoys you or it irritates you, you have to deal with it. It could be a task, taking out the garbage, answering email, whatever. It could be a person that you just have to interact with. It could be a part of yourself you have to interact with that you don't like. Something that doesn't cause you too strong an emotion, but something that really is there. You know you're going to be dealing with it in the future, you're pretty familiar with it. Okay, so this is like taking in the bad instead of taking in the good. We're going to go through the same steps of identifying it, making it real, turning it into an experience. And then I'm going to lead you through my way of doing the RAIN practice. How many of you have worked with the RAIN practice? Okay, so my version of it is recognize, allow, hello, my annoyance, here you are, you're part of me. That's recognize, allow. Investigate, first we're going to go to the body. We're going to do a lot of investigation. And then finally, non-identify, and I'll lead you through that. Okay, are you ready? Again, if you don't want to do this, please feel free to just do something different with your attention. Okay. Again, if you align your body, and maybe just do a quick scan of your body, noticing if you're tight anywhere. Just anticipating this exercise might have tightened you up somewhere. And just witnessing that, not insisting that it be different. And choosing something you're going to work with, something aversive, something you don't enjoy. When you know what it is, if you would just place your hands on your chest, like cross one arm over the other, or just one hand on the chest is enough, just so I know that you're there, you've identified it. Okay, and you can let your hands rest. Now turning it into an experience. Remembering a time recently, if possible, when you actually experienced this and taking yourself back into the experience, making it as real as you can. Remembering where you were, who was there, what you were seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Do you see a video? Do you hear conversations? Anything at all, just making it as real as possible. Not being concerned if you can't make it very real. Just this is an experiment. Just being a scientist of yourself and finding out what happens as you do your best at bringing this up into yourself. When it's as vivid as it can be, please place your hands just flat on your thighs. And now naming your experience. What are you feeling? Hello, my, whatever it is, here you are. I know you're here. I may really not like you, but here you are. You're part of me. Stop. I'm going to practice non-thinking now. I know you're here, I'll be back, but I'm going to shift my attention now. And taking your attention into your body, especially looking for any tightness or holding that you may be experiencing anywhere. And you can check your forehead and eyes, jaws and tongue, your throat, your neck and shoulders, your chest, your abdomen, your back, your sides, your hips and legs and feet, your arms and hands, any inner holding or inner tightness, just noticing what your body's feeling. And if you like, do a stretch that might get at the tightness if you have tightness anywhere. Or you could just draw some circles with your shoulders or your hands or your feet and breathe. Just keep breathing as you stretch. And if you'd like to, I'm going to guide, just you can follow me or you can stretch any way you like. Holding your stretch for a minute, any of you who would like to stretch. Sending your attention through your body again, noticing tightness and inviting it to soften. So when you stretch your body, a lot of places tighten that don't need to be tight. And finding out what's tight and inviting it to soften helps shift your attention all the way out of your mind, or further out of your mind and into your body, the neutral ground for your attention. So just scanning your body with real curiosity. Where is there tightness? Will it soften? When we're feeling a negative emotion, often knots get tied in us. The emotional body is kind of from the neck to the pelvis. If you massage that emotional body with stretching, it helps settle the emotion. So the stretches that help massage the emotional body are spinal twists, just turning in your chair, folding forward and letting your torso rest towards your thighs, which compresses the inside of your torso. Bringing your hands behind you and squeezing your shoulder blades together, or moving to one side or the other. You're just shifting and compressing, massaging your emotional body, the core of your body. Remembering to breathe, stay curious what's happening in your body. And when you're ready, coming back, noticing what you're feeling. And we're going to return to that experience again now and make it vivid again. So going back to your experience again, making it as vivid as possible. So we're massaging this experience too with our minds and our bodies. Noticing what happens as you make it vivid this time. Is it more vivid, less vivid, the same? And when it's as vivid as it can be, please place one hand on your chest so I'll know you're there. And ask yourself, what emotion am I feeling now? What emotion goes with this experience right now? Is there any other emotion? If you've named one emotion pretty easily, is there any other emotion kind of resting under it or next to it somewhere? Without thinking about the emotions or analyzing them, just observing and naming any emotions that you may be experiencing. And if you can't find a word for an emotion, just noticing, is it unpleasant, pleasant, or neutral? And then when you're ready, return to your body immediately, practicing non-thinking. Scan, especially for tightness, and do some more moving of your body, especially massaging your emotional body, stretching, holding the stretch for a while you breathe and scan, finding tension. I call this a treasure hunt for tight places, and inviting them to soften without insisting. So you're holding your stretch for a while you scan and release, or just do circles. But really getting curious, sending your attention into your body any way you can. Taking care of the emotional body. And when you're ready, coming to rest again. Just noticing what you're experiencing. What thoughts are going through your mind? Take yourself back into the experience again one more time. Making it as vivid as possible and noticing what happens as you do that. And when it's as vivid as possible for you, finding out what thoughts are there right now as you're re-experiencing this as much as possible, what thoughts are coming to your mind? Any words or sentences? Any images? Memories? Opinions? without thinking about that thinking. And when you've observed a few things, just sending your attention back into your body, practicing non-thinking, feeling through your body, and one more time massaging your emotional body. One nice thing is to draw circles with your feet one at a time. Squeeze your toes and flex your toes. Or figure eights with your hands. Circles with your shoulders or your chin. Moving your energy. Feeling your body moving. And if you do feel like stretching, compressing, or expanding, going side to side with your torso, twisting, anything that massages your torso. Spinal twists, we call them the wringing out the dish rag of stress. Just wringing it out. All right. And when you're ready, coming back to neutral and breathing, noticing what you're experiencing. And I'm actually going to guide you in a small practice to get at what the end of rain is. So we've recognized and allowed the feeling. Hello, who you are, you're part of me. We've recognized and allowed the feelings in the body and then massaged them. We've recognized and allowed all this, the thoughts, shifted back from them. Recognize, allow, we've investigated a lot of things. Now we're going to practice non-identifying with this difficulty. Now, many of you may have experience with non-identifying, but there's one practice I like to do to get at non-identifying, and that is to invite you to take your difficulty for a walk just around the room in a walking meditation. So you're inviting your difficulty to come with you. Again, only if you're willing to do this. You don't have to. Inviting your difficulty to come with you. It's like another part of yourself. So we have a certain state when we're in this difficulty, a state of ourself when we're in this difficulty. We have states of ourself when we're not in this difficulty, where we may be in a joy or in a sense of peacefulness. Lots of different states we exist in at different times. So it's kind of like taking the self that has this difficulty with you, the you that's here meditating and taking this, listening to this talk and practicing here, which is a self that isn't really in that difficulty at the moment, except to the extent that you took yourself there with your mind. So taking your difficulty for a walk, you're doing your walking meditation, and your difficulty is walking with you, either to your right or your left or in front of you or behind you. Just find out where it wants to be. And go ahead and just one circuit around the room and coming back to your chair, remembering to do the meditation, this walking meditation, feeling your feet touching, breathing, not thinking about what we've been doing, just knowing your difficulty's there. If it tries to talk to you, you just say, not now, we're walking. If you'd like, you can invite a half smile to keep you company as you walk, the self that's doing the walking. As you come back to your own chair, why don't we just stand and I'll lead you through one simple Qigong sequence just to move our energy a little bit. How many of you do Qigong? I don't even know what this one's called. It's just one. I don't teach Qigong, so this is just one kind of Qigong thing that I know how to do. Planting your feet in parallel, about hip-width apart. Aligning yourself. Relaxing after you've aligned so that you're not holding your body stiffly, and bringing your hands together softly so your shoulders, hands, and arms are still soft, so that your palms are just facing one another but not touching. As close as possible to each other without touching. And breathe, relaxing your shoulders, arms, and hands, and imagining that you're holding a ball of energy. If you like, you don't have to use this imagery, but if you do like to use imagery, imagining you holding a ball of energy and just reflecting on what kind of energy you might like to invite into yourself. It might be warm or strong or courageous or light or who knows what. Any kind of energy, a color, anything at all. Or just imagining that you're feeling your hands moving and that knowing that we're moving our energy. So lifting your energy, lifting your hands up as you breathe in. As you breathe out, softening your shoulders. As you breathe in again, lifting your hands up, receiving more positive energy. And as you breathe out, releasing out to the sides, just letting go, whatever you'd like to let go of. And draw some circles with your shoulders, shake out, come back to your stance again, beginning stance, and bringing your hands together again. We'll do this 4 or 5 times. If you can let your hands follow the rate of your own breathing. So we're all going at different rates. So as you breathe in, you're lifting your energy. As you breathe out, you're softening your shoulders. As you breathe in, you're lifting your hands and receiving energy, positive energy. And as you breathe out, you're releasing whatever you'd like to release. And just do a few more on your own. Coming back to the neutral position, holding your energy, lifting it, breathing out, inviting it in as you soften your shoulders. Breathing in, lifting your hands, receiving more. Breathing out, releasing what you'd like to release. So you're lifting. As you breathe out and soften your shoulders, you're inviting the energy into yourself. As you're breathing in again, you're receiving more. And as you're breathing out, you're releasing what you'd like to release. One more time if you'd like to, on your own. And then shaking out your body any way you'd like to. You can move your energy sideways if you'd like, just letting your arms flop around you, lifting the heel of the opposite side as you move your arms to the right, lifting your left heel. As you move your arms to the left, lifting your right heel, just to make it easy on your knees. And breathing. I always think of a maypole dance. Children are swinging around you. Just shaking out and having a seat. So this is a practice, this long, drawn-out practice. I have it written out. If anybody wants it, you can write to me. My website is mindfulnesshealth.com. Mindfulnesshealth.com. Pretty much only useful if you're going to have somebody else guide you or you're going to do it yourself on purpose. If you do it on purpose, it can be very useful. Of course, in the moment, when something, maybe a negative emotion is arising, you know, you're with that person that annoys you and they've done something particularly annoying, you can't obviously do this practice, right? But you can do a short version of it. And that's actually very important. So when we get triggered, what happens is our body reacts and our minds react. Our bodies hold the reaction and our minds just spin off, right? Along very well-worn tracks. And if you notice that that's happening, you can say, ah, here it is. I know you, right? Irritation or whatever it is. You can just breathe into your body. Say, there it is. If you can, stretch or do some circles or something or just shake out or whatever you can do in the moment. If nothing else, you can do stealth mindfulness, which is firming up your body, the lower half of your body, and nobody can see you do that. And it pulls your energy into the lower half of your body and you breathe. So you're bringing your attention into your body just briefly to neutralize yourself a little. And then you shift your attention to something different. So this is one way that you can do this kind of in vivo in the situation is just recognize, name it. Here it is. Name it to tame it. So when a strong emotion, fear, anger, whatever arises, negative emotion, the amygdala in the emotional brain is firing off. Lots of blood flow goes there. There's two little almond-shaped structures deep in our brain back here, part of the mammalian limbic system. And when we say, ah, I'm noticing, I'm angry. The noticing, not I'm noticing I'm so angry in anger, but just the bare awareness of things as they are, I'm noticing that I'm angry. The noticing part of the brain, which is the integrating part of the brain, is pulling some of that energy away. And there are fMRI studies that show that the amygdala downregulates when you name it. And actually, always surprising to me that you can feel the difference. Shifting into observing shifts state. So this is the first thing, just to name it. If you can then go to your body, it helps you anchor it out of those well-worn tracks. You have a chance not to be running down those well-worn tracks. And maybe you can shift to something else. And you start to rewire yourself away from just pure reactivity. So what I've talked about tonight is a way to use awareness of the body for dealing with strong emotion. Started out with taking in the good, which is typically a pleasant experience, or at least neutral. And then we worked with a difficult experience. How many of you are still feeling the effects of the difficult experience? If you are, and actually it's 9 o'clock, so I can't do this with you. What I would suggest is doing some more stretching. So what I didn't do is talk about clients. As a therapist, all of us who are mindfulness therapists use mindfulness in different ways, but we're all trained to notice our bodies, as far as I know. And when we're with a client, we can feel what the client's feeling to some extent. We're reacting to their reactions. And instead of just reacting, we're metabolizing our reactions by observing them and shifting them and breathing to them so that we can keep clearing our minds to just observe and be with the person. I've used this going to the body and stretching practice with people who are caught in strong emotions that they can't control. And if they do 3 to 5 minutes of stretching in the way I just briefly suggested, where you move into a stretch that kind of massages your emotional body, you know, twisting or moving to the side or back or folding forward, and holding the stretch for a minute while you scan through your body looking for tightness, inviting it to soften. If you do 3 to 5 of those stretches, you regulate yourself. You stabilize yourself. It's not to fix the emotion. It's not to make the emotion go away. It's to clear you so you can be a little bit more objective and observe your emotion and your mind. It'll come back, but it's a way of stabilizing yourself. And so in my practice, I use this actually, and I teach this to people. I want to mention just one person. I do want to mention one person who's a physician who's in her 50s who has severe kind of sudden depressions when certain triggers arise about a very painful incident. She gets extremely anxious and she gets immediately depressed. And we've been working on trying to sort of work with this reactivity. And she was doing all, she said, you know, I'm doing all my stretching and I'm pulling out my little pebble that you gave me and I'm looking at all my reminders and they're all helping somewhat, but they're not fixing this problem. Now, this isn't going to fix the problem, but it was kind of mysterious that she wasn't really, we were all, her psychiatrist, myself, her, we were all confused about why it wasn't helping her more. And I finally said, exactly, she said, because I had trained her in acknowledge shift, name it shift, that was our shorthand. And she was acknowledging shifting and then immediately thinking about it. When I inquired, like with a microscope, into exactly what are you doing when you have that thought that we know triggers you and that stream of thoughts, You acknowledge it, you shift, but then what do? She was immediately going back into analyzing it. And I said, but the shift was supposed to be a shift. And she said, yes, but I love to think about it. I need to think about it. No, but thinking is her greatest skill. And for a lot of us, it's so entrained to think and analyze to try to fix the feeling. And actually, we finally started getting some traction when she realized that the thinking was causing a lot of the suffering. But I had said that like a broken record, but it wasn't until we figured this out in that way that it started to help her. So none of these things are supposed to be fixes. But I work with untying knots in the body to untie knots in the mind and heart. And so I wanted to do this talk tonight so that I could share this with you. So, could I read you Mary Oliver's poem to end? Would that be okay? You all know Wild Geese? Okay, so just getting comfortable. And after this, if we could just sit for a minute and I'll ring the bell to end, if that's okay. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. So if we can just sit for a moment, breathing and letting all this settle. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.